You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Journeyman here with DraftKings, Meadowlark Media. We're going to give you a little peek behind the curtain. I'm moving from LA to Miami, like literally last night. I got off the plane 4 hours ago, and as of like just now, I am a Miami resident. So it's week two, technically, and we're figuring this all out. This is what the beauty of Journeyman is that there is no stability when you bounce around the way that Journeyman does, because that was my professional career. And I'm joined today by Sydney Colson, professional basketball player in the WNBA. But how do I give an intro for you? Like, how do you like to be introduced? Is it just basketball player? Is it comedian?
I think I've grown to accept that it's both, because I felt like I had to be like doing something that a lot of people could see to be considered a comedian. Mm. But I'm like, I guess I accept that label now. I think Journey Woman, I've been.
There it is.
Places in the league too. So
how many teams have you played for?
Five
teams. Yeah, you're a journeywoman for sure. So comedian, professional basketball player, the most ridiculous professional athlete. You talk about stupid, and I don't mean stupid in like a bad way. I mean like no home training. Like, I swear to God, I don't get how you get away with some of the stuff you post on social media, but it has me so weak. See, I'm not joking. I be at home.
You want to talk.
LOL. I appreciate good slapstickery. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's why we click. Because I'm like,
that's
she's a big exactly. All right, so we're here on Journeyman / Journeywoman now that Sydney's on the show. But I can't wait to get your perspective on this first topic, because we're gonna jump into Anthony Davis. Did you see the Laker in the Nuggets game last night?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I just had a feeling like Denver wasn't gonna lose like game one on their home court, but I think they probably should be a little worried, because Jokic and Murray had really good games. So did Caldwell Pope. Mm-hmm. It was a 6-point game at the end of the day. I don't think like the Lakers just played great. You know, AD had a really good game. Reeves had some big shots, but I don't know. I think the Lakers might take the series though.
You know, I you think the Lakers gonna take the series?
I think they might.
I'm gonna be honest. I gotta respect.
And if they don't, the Nuggets will. I tweeted that yesterday. People were pissed. Like, literally how.
If the Lakers don't win, the Nuggets will take the series. No, I like that analysis. But I want to talk about the injury that Anthony Davis got after game five, because he got hit in the face. All right. And I'm a big time Laker fan. My son is a big time Laker fan. I'm a big Bron fan. I was a big Kobe fan. So I'm invested in the Lakers. Now, I'm a casual. I'll be honest with you. Don't try to talk to me about the high pick post three triangle bullshit. I don't know none of that. Okay. I know basketball like everybody else. So when he got hurt, and then I'm like, dang, he's hurt. And, you know, obviously that's a big part of the Lakers squad and our ability to win the championship. But he's going out on a wheelchair. And I thought that was a little much. I'm going to be honest with you, Sid. I don't want to be that guy. But I did think it was a little much. I seen Chuck and Shaq laughing. They were making jokes. Stephen A. Smith made some comments. I think AD unfollowed him on Twitter. So you're a professional basketball player. So I'm going to give the floor to you. What was your thoughts on AD's injury situation after game five?
It's hilarious to like hear from non-basketball players, specifically football players, about concussions. For y'all, I'm sure, you know, like the level of like toughness that you got to have to play football is like,
it's next level. You got to be a little crazy.
It's astronomical. Yeah. And so granted, I mean, like you will look at that and feel like, what? Like a lot of people will look at that, even like older players, like from Shaq and Charles era, like their level of toughness, you look at something like that and you're like, no. But like in reality, it could just take one hit to the right spot to be concussed. But the funny thing about it, like it's wild, because you know, like me, like I border the line a lot of times with like, all right, should you make that joke? Should you say that? But like, I mean, comedians do that. Like you
gotta
toe the line or you cross it. a lot of the time. So when I looked at that, when I was seeing the remarks and like the comments on Twitter, it's hard to not laugh at some stuff, even if it is serious. But it's kind of like if you're at a funeral and somebody gets up to like talk about the dead person, and they're talking shit about them, and it might be right, but it's like, dog, it's like not the time though right now. Like,
I know you laugh at funerals. I know you are the person that your family probably can't stand you because they like, you got to put you in a certain section of the church.
Yeah, I'm like, people got to stop dying.
Now, look, I got a lot of concussions. To your point about football players, I probably had at least 6 concussions in my professional. That's not including college and beyond. My professional football career.
And that's probably clouding your judgment. And that's and your vision.
So, yes, it's probably clouded my judgment and my vision. And again, like I said, I there's been times where I don't remember anything. So if I see it hit to the face, yeah, I'm gonna be like, okay. You're and like, I never went out on a wheelchair. Now, I might not know what day of the week it was or how I got to where I was at, but I walked off. So
that part made it funny.
Yeah, that part made it funny. So let's play this clip. I think we have a clip of Charles and Shaq of the incident.
I think I do too, but what are you laughing about?
You know what they're laughing
at. I'm laughing at Chuck.
Shaq, I know what they're laughing at. Shaq, you understand?
Shaq is over there crumbling up paper. That's why I was laughing. That's not what I'm going
about. I'm laughing at Chuck.
Come on, tell the truth. They understand.
Come on, man. Stop it, man.
Ernie, wait, don't let us go there. Because if we go there, it'll never stop. It'll never stop.
Ernie, we need to go to that next game quickly.
No, we don't.
Oh, man.
I'm laughing at Chuck.
Well, give me your takeaway from the game, Chuckster.
There's no shocker. The Lakers were, you know, they were kind of engaged. But when you give up 100, when you give up 70 points in the first half, you're not kidding. What are you doing?
I'm sitting, fixing my seat. I'm fixing my seat. I'm fixing my seat. But I did not do that.
You're fixing your seat.
I did not do that. It's embarrassing.
Man, guys, come on now.
Now, I didn't laugh at AD's injury. I didn't think it was funny at all. But I'm not going to lie. I laughed at them laughing. Because it's like one of them things where someone else in the room is laughing. You can't help but laugh. And I'm like, these guys are idiots, right? So you're telling me I'm tripping for thinking it's funny that they thought it was funny, Sid. Final verdict right now.
No.
Okay, thank God. All right.
I can see like both ways.
I'm not going to lie. I got to apologize to Joker. Because, you know, that meme from Shaq, I wasn't familiar with your game. Like I said, I'm a casual. I fell into the hype of them acting like Jokic was only getting them MVPs because of, oh, he's a white player. Like, I didn't know. I'm like, oh, is that what's going on? Because I'm a casual. I don't know. If NBA players are saying it, Sid, I believe it. I watched the game. I'm like, oh, y'all was tripping. This dude, he's better than everybody.
I think he's really good. I think Embiid deserved the MVP this year, though. And I think he has a crazy skill set. Like, I love his game. I love how you keep saying you're a casual, though. Like you embrace it.
I am. I am a casual.
You were all shame.
Because I seen a clip of Shumpert on his podcast talking about, like, Bron, and they were running this play over and over again. And he's like, yo, we were doing a high pitch post off it. And it was it dawned on me at that moment. I'm like, I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And so with football, like, everyone has these opinions, and I have to sit there and I gotta act like we're having an intelligent conversation about like football. And in my mind, I know, I'm like, yo, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You literally just watched this on TV.
Correct.
And I gotta I gotta act like we both are equal in our opinions on like our knowledge base. And it was at that moment I realized, I'm like, okay, I'm literally just a fan, which is a good thing. I embrace it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a casual. But Joker is legit. And I was like, yo, he's nice. He's like that. He's going to be a scary dude to kind of beat. But I think Hachimura did well on him late in the game. And I feel like the Lakers kind of figured something out. And also his nickname is Black Samurai. And I thought that was racist. But then I found out that he actually named himself that. So it was all good after that.
So it's fine.
It's all right.
It's fine.
I refuse to use it.
I like him. I was thinking the same thing. Like, I think they're going to keep him on Jokic for a lot of the series and have AD be the person, like, rotating for help.
All right. So,
foul trouble.
So me and you are in agreement that the Lakers are going to win the series. We're going to come back to this. And if we're wrong,
just edit it.
We'll just edit it. You said the Nuggets, so we'll just edit the clip.
That's what I'm about to say. Yeah, I'm gonna say it right now though, real quick, so that it can be like cool.
Make sure
I think the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets will win it. No, I think the Lakers will win it. Okay, so they can use either one of those.
All right, we're back on Journey, man. We got our guy back in the building, Amin El Hassan, here joining us with Sidney Colson still in the building. Amin, what's up, dude?
What's up, man? What's up with that vest?
You like this vest?
You look like Martin Lawrence.
I'm ready for everything,
like,
man.
Like 1990s action movie Martin Lawrence, where there's like Bad Boys, a Blue Streak or something like that. He'd be wearing something like that.
Exactly. I got all the pockets, man. You don't know what I got in these pockets. I am ready for every situation.
So many zippers.
All right, we already talked Lakers, we talked Nuggets, we talked round or the Western Conference Finals before you got here. But now, it's reports that LeBron has had a camera crew, some of the same filmmakers from the Michael Jordan Last Dance doc that have been following him around this season, and there could be potentially a Last Dance style version of this Lakers season. And LeBron, what do you... Top line thoughts. Do you think you'll be included as a voice in that doc?
Hell no.
No?
Oh, no.
Why? Man. Why wouldn't you be in that doc?
I suspect LeBron doesn't like me. I know this because I know Rich Paul.
Okay.
And I know Maverick.
And neither one of them like you.
No, they do like
me. Okay, they like you.
But cool. Like, they've never said, oh, man, LeBron said this or what. Oh, he liked it. It never, ever, ever has it ever been brought up. And anytime me and him are in the same place at the same time, like, he doesn't even make eye contact. So I'm just like, eh.
So, Sidney, do you have any insight there? Do you know if LeBron likes,
from what I'm gathering right here, no.
If someone automatically knows you don't like him, then it's probably the truth.
He does not F with you, it appears.
All right. Well, that's a good jumping off point. All right. So Amin won't be in the Last Dance doc, right? We know that for sure. Who else won't be in the Last Dance LeBron doc? I'm going to go first. Sid, I'm going to say Paul Pierce isn't going to make it.
Ooh.
Right? Now we're just listing LeBron haters. Now, I don't know if you were a LeBron hater. Is that why he doesn't like you?
I'm not.
Have you said things that regret?
Yes. So I said one thing that the show next door plays every single time I say anything very forceful, which is in 2016, when the Warriors are up 3-1, I said, it's a wrap. So I said, not a wrap for the series. I said, it's a wrap for LeBron being the best player. He's got to be like a more supporting role, kind of like. It made sense. It was, he was 13 years into his career, a lot of miles. Like, the Warriors were running circles around him and stuff. And I was like, hey, man, ain't no shame in it. Everybody ages and you got to age gracefully. And I said, him like demanding that he's the main focal point, those days are over. And then, of course, they won the next three games. And then he put together, like, these amazing seasons after that. And probably around 2020, I was like,
maybe I got that wrong. So you will be in the doc then. You just won't be doing an interview.
Yeah,
you get that clip. Yeah. Will absolutely be in the LeBron Last Dance doc. Sid, who you got? You got anybody that won't be in the LeBron doc?
I'm going to say Dylan Brooks. I would say, just from everything that unfolded during that Grizzlies series, because yikes.
Yeah, that's a great one.
But I think he will be in the doc because they need comedic relief.
You know what? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we need someone to laugh at. Yeah.
Will he agree to it, though?
Dylan Brooks?
Will he be doing it from China? Like,
man.
Well, I don't know how they'll be able to schedule the production. That's a good point.
So is Dylan Brooks LeBron's Isaiah Thomas? Like,
no way.
Not in terms of stature, but definitely in terms of what you're talking, in terms of role in the documentary, the way Isaiah, who one of the greatest players of all time, but he turned into a punchline, basically, right? He turned into something we laughed at. I think the same thing will probably happen. Maybe not just Dylan Brooks. There are a lot of them. Paul Pierce.
Yeah. Paul Pierce might be more the Isaiah Thomas than Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. But I don't know if Paul has enough moments where, like, he was just embarrassed by LeBron. Like, Paul held his own, you know?
Yeah.
So then again.
I guess.
That's valid. But I guess, like, Isaiah Thomas, like, you can't just reduce him to that one moment because he was a great player.
Yeah.
So you got to still have somebody that battled with
This is a good question. Who's the person who's like, yo, we're just going to erase him from history? Like, they're not even going to mention it.
Skip Bayless is one for sure. He's not making a duck.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not getting the invite to comment.
No, they're not in the invite, but they might use clips again because they'll have him and Shannon probably.
I don't know because LeBron has not acknowledged Skip a single time in 20 years, which is crazy to think about. I love the thought of him doing a Last Dance doc and acting like his takes, which are the loudest anti-LeBron takes, don't even exist. Yeah. That's how you erase somebody from history.
Never heard of the dude. I love that. Not how embarrassing. If you spend so much time talking about somebody and they never acknowledge you. Kind of like you, Amin.
Hey, man. I'm going to tell you one thing. I ain't embarrassed on the 1st and the 15th.
Hey, tell him. That check,
and she's that still clear.
Who else? I think my dog Stack might be on his road to not being in the LeBron duck.
Really?
Yeah, I think he said some things recently, podcast, people letting LeBron score. And, you know, sometimes I don't want to make – I'm a big Bron fan, lifetime Bron fan. I'll be honest with it. I'm biased, a lot of bias from my perspective. But I feel like there's some people that do try to make, you know, headlines, or it does seem like it's a little vendetta. And you're not looking at it objectively. Like, if you hate on Bron at this stage, I don't want I tweeted this. I don't want you in my life. I want to block you on social media. I don't want you a part of anything I'm a part of because your energy isn't right for my spirit and where I want to go in life. You feel me, Sid?
That really resonated with me, Hawk.
Yes.
You could not.
Because to be hating on LeBron at this point, it's like people are going, it would be like if Jordan was at this point and you were just finding reasons to like talk down on the dude. But it's like, just appreciate the greatness that you're experiencing. Like, you're not going to see this from another player in a very long time. Not like this kind of career and doing this, 18 years, whatever years into their career. Like, you're not gonna
hashtag
see this.
Hashtag year 20, dude. That's crazy.
Strive for greatness.
Yo, I played basketball 4 weeks ago now. And I take a break. So I hoop every once in a while, but I hooped and I tried to hoop twice in 3 days. This is not a lot. I pulled my hamstring.
Nah, bro.
Bending over, like at the butt. It popped. Like, welcome. It was like at the butt. Like the high joint. That's like the I can't
bend down. Ass injury,
and
man.
I broke my hand and don't know where I broke it. So my hand is still broke right now. 4 weeks later.
You don't know where?
I don't know when it happened. My hand and pulled my hamstring by the butt at 37. And I'm like, LeBron is really still out there hooping.
First of all, the hamstring injury that you're describing, that is a very old man injury. You might want to start lying to people and just say, I rolled my ankle.
Running, fam. I was bending down for a ball. Thing popped on me.
I tore my ulnar collateral.
Bending down for a ball, Hawk? I don't think you want to say that like that.
Okay. Thank you, Sid. I appreciate you being on the show and helping me get my vocabulary
Mace?
Right.
Where's Cam and Mace when you need him? I tore my under collateral ligament playing in a charity soccer game. And everyone said, what happened? The ball hit you in the head. I was like, no, I was jogging lightly up one direction and then play changed direction. I turned around, I started jogging lightly the other way. And my body was like, whoa, we changing directions now? Is that what we're doing? And I just fell like a tree.
Brand new with me.
Exactly. That's what my body said, man. That's old man stuff, man. Like, I learned that. I think I learned on that day. Look, I woke up this morning. I felt good. Why would I go do something that's going to make me not feel good later?
That's a good point.
And I haven't missed it one bit. You know ever what? Since then, I was like, I don't need to do this.
I'm trying to find my rhythm post-retirement, being the old guy. It's a new world for me. I'm not used to not being able to bend down. That's a new thing.
Sid, you young. You don't know about this. The elliptical is your friend.
I feel you, though. I'm getting there. Like, I used to be able to just sit there and like not warm up and do stuff. I'm like, I warm up about 20 minutes now.
20 minutes. You got icy hot. You got it. When I retired, I was doing hot tub, cold tub.
Dog.
Icy hot, stretch, band. It took me. I had to leave meetings early. Everybody else was in meetings that they had before practice. I had to leave early to start my pre-practice routine just to make it through practice. So
the pre-practice cold tub?
Pre-practice.
Damn.
Contrast.
Man.
That's next level. That's why we got to give respect to Bron. All right, so whose spot in the LeBron Last Dance doc is secured?
D-Wade.
Yeah, thank you.
D-Wade in there.
Rich Paul.
Rich Paul, of course. Of course. Mav is obviously in there. Yeah. They're the producers of it. They're all EPs. Yep. I'll give you one. Tristan Thompson is in there. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He's in there.
Channing Frye. Yep. Richard Jefferson. I'm telling you, both of them.
Both of them in?
And Kevin Love. They're going to be sitting all three of them together cracking jokes. So that's the little crew right there. Who else, man? I'm trying to think who...
That whole Cavs team is going to be in. J.R. Smith is going to be in.
Who unexpected?
J.R. Smith.
Who unexpected is going to be in it? Because it's easy to go with the... Those ones are easy. But like unexpected, like, oh, I didn't know he'd be in it. You know what I'm thinking? Booby Gibson is not in it, bro.
Yeah. Hey, he's from Houston. Yeah.
Booby's going
to
make it.
That don't got nothing to do with getting into the LeBron docs here.
Dude, they won 120...
We're coming down. Booby Gibson, I don't feel like he's getting in it.
He getting in it. They got to talk about that first Cleveland thing. Who are they going to talk to? Is it Drunas Ilgauskas? They're not talking to him.
Nah, Varejao.
Oh, yeah. Andy. Andy's a guy, though. But Booby's good on camera. That's why.
Like, he is.
You need someone who's going to bring a spark to it. You know?
All right. I, for one, can't wait for the doc. We were talking about Jordan's Last Dance doc. See, what was your favorite moments from the Jordan Last Dance doc? Because that was epic. I mean, at that time in history, we were in a pandemic. We had nothing to watch. They hurried up and put it out. And it was like, that was like the first appointment viewing outside of like live sports that I felt like we had in a while. So we were all locked in. What was your favorite moment?
I think that security guard that looked like Bob from Martin.
Bob from accounting.
Yeah, the one that did the shrug. Like, that killed me because like, the gambling, for one, Jordan has said in the doc, like, remember he had his glasses on in the press conference? It was like, my wife said I had a gambling problem. Something like that. It's like, it's sus that you had the glasses on.
At that time.
And then you were gambling in this clip. It was just wild. That's probably my favorite. And then the Dennis Rodman stuff.
Dennis Rodman, absolutely my favorite.
That you reenacted. It was sick when you did it.
I appreciate that. My family was embarrassed by me after I put that up, for sure.
Did you do
that?
That
was my introduction to you.
Oh, you got
to
see. You haven't seen my.
I haven't seen it. No.
So, Sid, that was your introduction. That's like my most famous thing I've ever done on the internet. Is I did the impression of Dennis Rodman in the Michael Jordan Last Dance doc, and it went crazy viral. I had no idea it was going to do that too. It took me like maybe an hour to film, edit, and post. And I'm like, this is stupid. And I just put it up. I came back. That thing had like 1 million views immediately.
I said, I need to know this, man.
It was next level buffoonery. But that's the cool thing about the doc is like, it actually did spin, like it's spawned 2 movies now. Because there's the Rodman 48 Hours in Vegas coming out. And then there was Air, which I have an interesting take on Air. Have you guys seen Air?
I have seen Air.
Sydney, you haven't, Sid? I'm going to ruin it for you. Michael Jordan ends up being... the star of Nike. I don't know. Spoiler alert. But it's kind of a dumb movie.
It's not a dumb movie. It's a commercial.
It's kind of a dumb movie.
It's not a dumb movie. It's really funny, dude.
All right.
It's really funny. It's well acted, well written. But at the end of the day, it's a commercial. It's just like The Last Dance was a commercial. It's not a documentary. It's a commercial. It's like, look how great I am, right?
So, all right. Let me explain to you what happens in the movie, Sid, real quick. Yeah. And you know this. It's not, that's the thing about it. There is no twists. There is no turns. The equivalent would be this. Somebody does a movie on Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cavs, and their general manager in 2014. I don't know who that was. Somebody look that up for me if you can. And the movie opens up and they're like, we have to bring the Cavs a championship, but we don't know how to do it. And they're in the think tank, and they're like, man,
and they're watching tape on all these guys.
And one of the scouts is at home.
Available.
They're like, Gordon Hayward? I don't know. And then the scout is at home, and he comes in, and he slams a videotape for the thing back then, but still, he slams a videotape on the table.
What's that?
And he says, I got it.
What is it?
He said, it's a player in Miami, LeBron James. They're like, are you crazy?
We can't get LeBron James.
There's no way. And then the movie ends with LeBron James coming back and everybody applauds the scouts.
Yeah, like Dan Gilbert. You saw it.
They're like, man, these guys are revolutionary. And it's like, shit. You don't say. That's what Air is. It's like,
but like
it's applauding a bunch of people who didn't win six championships, but, six rings, revolutionize basketball, and do all the work.
But it wasn't like the look. The story of Air wasn't about like, is Michael Jordan going to be great? Because they knew he was going to be great. It was, do we blow our entire budget on one guy who wants to go to Adidas? That's really the obstacles they overcame. It wasn't like, I don't know how good he is. It was, you want to give the entire budget to one guy, which was unheard of, particularly for a small company. Man, stop hating on Air. Air was a good movie, man.
I'm just saying.
It's a commercial, but it's a good-ass commercial.
I wanted more. I'm just saying. Like, it's the same thing with LeBron. It's like, man, do we blow our whole free agency on LeBron? I don't know. There's other players available. Is this crazy? Do we trade Andrew Wiggins? We just drafted him. Are you nuts? You don't trade a first overall pick. You know, it's like kind of that. It was a good movie. I was just like, you know.
I'm going to text you when I watch it. I'm going to see who I agree with.
Thank you. That's all I'm looking for.
We specialize in die-cast metal miniature gun models that you didn't know you've been looking for. Called Goat Guns. Bah! Yes, Goat. They are the greatest of all-time gun models you can display on your desk. Buy, build, and collect them. We offer a 90-day return policy if you don't love yours. Start your collection at GoatGuns.com.
All right, last series the Lakers played, they beat the Golden State Warriors. A lot was said about this Golden State Warrior team, kind of where they are as a franchise. Obviously, the inner team dynamics between Draymond, Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, of where they are, all these things. And it was a question on social media, which is where I get all my basketball news as a casual basketball fan, about Draymond doing his podcast during the season. And is that a distraction? I feel like I have a take that I'm still kind of crafting in my head, but Sydney, for you first, as a professional basketball player, do you think it's a distraction for Draymond to be doing his podcast while the season is going on? And I want to hear if you're a hypocrite, because you are probably the last person that I should be asking this question to. But I'm going to let you answer anyway. Go ahead, shoot.
As a person who doesn't play a lot, it would be very different for me to be having a podcast versus somebody who starts or plays like heavy minutes for a team. Like, it's wild to me. It's the equivalent of like, I still wouldn't do it. Even if I didn't play a single minute, I wouldn't do it during the season. Like,
why,
not
though?
In the way that he's doing it. It's the equivalent of like, you know, when you go in for halftime and you're like waiting until the coaches come in. It would be like if I just set up my podcast stuff in my locker right there and started doing the stuff before the coaches came in at halftime. And then I just let it keep running while they're talking. Like, it's wild to see him doing this. Like, post game, what?
First of all, shout out to Andre Iguodala, Point Forward Podcast, Metal Arc Property.
There you go.
Also active player doing podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle. So I think, to me, it's not that he pods. I don't care that he pods.
Okay.
I care that he gives away, if not state secrets, but just things that you don't want to give away.
Like, do you think it's helped other teams when they play
them? No, it's not even help. Like, oh, Draymond said they're going to try trapping us. It's not that. It's stuff like when he talked about Steph's mentality when it comes to LeBron, like, I was like, don't say that out loud, man. Like, just,
you guys know podcasts. No, you start vomiting at the mouth.
I know, this is
a lot of time to fill.
That's when you got someone behind the glass and will say, we're going to mark that one right there, man. You can't say that stuff in an active series. Like, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to say it actively in the middle of series, because you don't know what the mentality is over there. They might pretend to be confident or whatever, but you might have just given them, oh, we in their heads or whatever. So I wish he wasn't so revelatory. I know that's what's going to make him great at this when he's done playing. But it's like, bro, you don't have to be that great right now. You can be like just good and then kick it up into high gear when you're eliminated, talk about other teams, or when you're done playing altogether. Having said that, like, the act of podcasting, I don't think, look, would I rather him be podcasting or hitting the streets? I'd rather him be podcast.
Why does it got to be the only two options?
Because idle time. Idle time is the devil's plaything
or
whatever.
Or John Moran. You ain't got to. There's a lot of in between you could be doing there.
I don't know. I think people make a big deal out of athletes in general doing anything that they perceive to be not their craft.
Yep.
And like, I know, I mean, all you guys are both pro athletes, so you know it. As someone who's worked in the space for a long time, there's a lot of downtime. People don't understand that. Like, even the hardest, crazy, maniacal workers, there's a lot of time when you ain't got shit to do. So it's like, that's why a lot of guys will go into creative spaces like music or, you know, or podcasting or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of stuff that's like fairly harmless, right?
Right.
In comparison to what could be happening with what a lot of guys do with their idle time, which is hitting the streets. And not in a John Morant way, but like a hitting the streets, you know?
Just hitting the streets. Well, so you guys are okay with him podcasting. You just don't like the content that he...
I just think the timing is wild, and what he's saying, I agree with him. I mean, like, it's what you're saying. Like, just wait until later, because even next year, Steph Curry probably, I mean, he's still going to be playing. I don't want LeBron knowing, like, what I think about our matchup. So it's just, like, save some of that stuff. But also, I just like envisioning him setting up stuff in the locker room.
You know why I know so much about the Las Vegas?
You got Draymond, like, before Kerr walks in. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Check. All right, here we go.
Like, yeah, you know, this brought to you by Manscaped. here in this locker room takes brought to you by Manscaped. I know everything I know about the inner workings of the Las Vegas Aces because of Sydney Colson. She does content literally in the locker room, places she's not supposed to, on the bus, every situation, in the game. She'll be doing funny stuff when she gets in the game. So to hear her say that Draymond Green's podcast is a distraction is wild hypocritical.
I'm a hypocrite. All right.
We got to the bottom of it. You know what? I think once you get the amount of gray hairs that Draymond has, if you are any active professional athlete and you have that amount of gray hairs, you can do what you want.
And I have that amount. They're just colored right now, but I have
tons of them. Then you're good. And the same with Draymond, because you're at that stage where, like, I got to start preparing for life after this.
Correct.
So when you get the grays, you know, you're allowed to do whatever you want. That's just my take. You mentioned in the streets. Ja. Period. Ja is in the streets, or at least it appears to be so on live. A situation with Ja, I'm not making light of it. It sucks because he's a young boy in the NBA.
I see what you did there.
And he's learning. Right. And there's certain lumps he has to take. But objectively, this is stupid. This got to be the dumbest way to get in trouble with the history that we have of Ja. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are correct.
So
100% correct.
This is what I think about it, man, because I initially reacted like, oh, we just told you. And then I felt like, yo, why do I feel like I'm talking to my kids? Because that's exactly the conversation. Like, am I absolutely clear? Yes. And then like 2 weeks later, we just talked about this, right? But then I thought about it. Ja's closer in age to my kids than he is to me. This is how young, put in perspective, this is how young Ja is. Soulja Boy is old school music for him. He was 7 years old when Superman came out, right?
And I do still Google Soulja Boy music sometimes.
But I'm just saying, like, think about that. He was 7 years old. When that song is like a kid's song, right? Yeah. Damn near for my old ass. But for Ja, it's like my parents would play it around the house. Mm. Like, think about that.
That's
like,
what his dad is playing when he's on the grill.
Yeah, exactly.
On Memorial Day weekend, he's playing Soulja Boy, tell him.
And they're all doing the dance in the backyard, him and his little cousins.
Soulja Boy up in this.
So it's just like the idea that, like, he's not going to make dumb mistakes. Like, the other thing about it, dumb as it is, he ain't hurt nobody. It's not like he was. So when Steven Jackson talks about this, and he's like, you know, I've made mistakes too. Steven Jackson talked about being actively in a shootout as an NBA player, getting hit by a car so hard it knocked his teeth out. Getting up, pulling the gun out, and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what he's talking about. Ja's just like dancing with the little gun from Harlem Nights. That's his big crime. Like, holding the
Steven Jackson, maybe that's how it started for him. Maybe he was just dancing with a little gun at one point and it turned.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it did not start like that for Steven Jackson.
Which is funny because have you ever heard Soulja Boy stories? Sometimes they do sound a little like Steven Jackson's stories. Steven Jackson's might be real. I don't know, but it's. The stories are I'm just saying, they both was in the streets the same way.
I'm going to tell you.
From the podcast stories.
I'm going to tell you right now. I've heard the Steven Jackson stories far beyond the podcast.
Yes, I also have heard the history of Steven Jackson in these streets. So I don't think he's wrong. And I don't think Ja Morant is a bad kid. And I think that's the problem everybody has with it, is because, like, yo, you're not doing anything but hurting yourself, you know. Yeah. And also, yes, he's young. 23, I'm trying to put myself back when I was 23. And everybody's situation is different. And no, I didn't have $200 million contract either, man. Which I didn't, you know. I was still on my grind trying to get to it.
$10 million for every year you've been alive on the planet.
$10 million for every year you've been alive is wild. But also, but it's not like they're saying, like, yo, don't hang out with your friends. Disown your family. Don't forget where you came from. You got to stop talking to people you love or being. It's like, yo, just don't up the strap on the internet.
Lay low.
That's a very... The partners, the endorsers, they just like, yo, just don't pull out the blicky. Like, it's a very simple, and I feel like you could do that. See, that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's a request that can be met.
Oh, I'm great at hiding the strap.
Oh.
Soulja Boy, tell him that does it for this segment.
Sorry, dog. I shouldn't have done that here.
I shouldn't have done that here. All right, the NBA lottery was this week, and the Spurs got the golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the San Antonio Spurs, as a casual who has not worked with the NBA, I can say this, the most boring NBA team in my lifetime, the most boring champion, dynasty.
Yeah, say it. Yeah.
Like, literally one of the best, but they are boring. Their colors are boring.
Yep.
Their style of basketball is boring.
Their colors are black, white, and gray.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Literally, those are like the first three colors,
primary colors
in Earth existence. Yeah. Like, before they got to the blues, and they were like, all right, let's start with these three: black, white, gray.
Yep.
Right? So, very boring, but they get Victor Wembanyama if they choose to go in that direction.
Sure.
I don't know why they wouldn't, but it does seem like we're going to be hearing a lot more about the Spurs and for the next, we'll call it at least 10 to 15 years.
Will we?
If everything works. I don't know.
Did we hear a lot more of them with Tim Duncan? Like, yeah, they were winning and they were successful. We didn't hear much because, as you said, boring.
But I don't think Tim Duncan, like, there wasn't as much fanfare. And this is a good tipping off point, because I think it was Wojo who called Victor Wembanyama not only the best NBA prospect ever, but maybe the best prospect of the history of team sports. And we were around for the LeBron, hoopla coming in. And Wembanyama seems big. It doesn't seem that big, but I'm not in an NBA circle, so tell me.
I'm going to tell you right now, that is hyperbole of the highest level.
Man.
Because
cap is what we call that
super
on
cap.
Journeyman.
LeBron James as a freshman rising to sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the Lenny Cook game happened, like, he was already a household name.
Mm.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a junior in high school.
Yeah.
With the title, The Chosen One.
Mm-hmm.
As a senior, one of the biggest news stories was that he got a Hummer as a gift from his mom. And people were saying, wait, how is that possible? It's like, well, when you know this guy's going to make whatever.
You buy him a Hummer.
Right.
Yeah. Very simple.
He declares for the draft. He goes number one. And there's a bidding war between the sneaker companies for him. Adidas and Nike.
They should make a movie about this.
Yeah, they will. Not sure. They will. $100 million. $100 million, and by the way, Reebok offered $125 million, but they came in too late into the bidding.
Mm.
In the history of basketball, there's two guys I would say that had that hype: LeBron, Kareem.
Kareem.
People knew who Kareem was like as an eighth grader.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Like, so it was a different time. Obviously, there wasn't the internet and all that stuff. So obviously, LeBron was way more widespread. Victor Wembanyama might be the greatest player of all time right now. I don't know. Maybe he's going to grow up to be the greatest player of all time. But he's not as hype as LeBron James, because LeBron James was ubiquitous. People who didn't know basketball knew who this dude was.
My mom, who does not follow basketball, she's a sports fan, but does not follow basketball. When I was in 10th grade, I missed curfew by like 10 minutes. And she was doing the black mom thing where she's cussing me the hell out. Like, I just shot six people or something, right? Like, she's like, are you out of your... damn mind.
I have both received and delivered this speech.
She's given it to me for these 10 minutes that I was past curfew. And in the speech, she says, oh, you must think you LeBron James, huh? you must think you LeBron James. I don't see no Hummer in that parking lot. And it was like, that was the moment. I'm like, damn, LeBron's a big deal.
Dude, that's how you know.
That's how I knew. I'm like, you know. Black mama lecture just referenced LeBron James in the Hummer.
That's it, right? Like,
but is that just because it's we're in the United States, though? It's like, it's worldwide, dude, Wembanyama, bigger.
If you're calling him the most hyped prospect ever.
It's got to be.
And he's not hyped here.
The basketball mecca.
Dog, like, I mean, that seems to be like a pretty low bar. Hey, the most hyped prospect ever. Is he big in the United States? Well, not really. And just some nerds over here on the internet know. Oh, then guess what? He's not. This is what happens when you live on Twitter. You live in a bubble. You think everyone that you follow and you interact with, what they're talking about is what the world is talking about. But the world doesn't know Victor Wembanyama. My dad watches basketball.
Uh-huh.
He's a sports fan. He doesn't know who Victor Wembanyama is. He might like, like the French kid, but he doesn't know who he is.
Right.
If I put him up on screen, a headshot, most people won't recognize who he is, right? And again, these are not knocks on him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you say, this is the most hyped guy. I submit to you, a bigger percentage of the population in the United States knew who Tim Duncan was coming out.
Yeah.
Than Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And when Tim Duncan came out, it inspired mass tanking across the league, including the Spurs, who got him.
Okay, what do you think about him as a player? I want your basketball, and don't dance around this shit, I want you to tell me, the same way you sat up there in 2016 and you said, LeBron is done, man. Fam. Right?
Bring this back.
All right? I want you to give me your Wembanyama take. Right. Is he going to be the best? You were wrong in the LeBron one. We can both say that.
I was wrong on LeBron in 2016, and I atoned for that sin. I'm sorry, LeBron. But is he going to be the best? That's such a high bar, man. And I feel for him because it's like, where do you land if you don't reach that bar? As a prospect, he's incredibly unique in that, obviously 7'3 and the incredible wingspan, but he moves very fluidly like a perimeter player, right? So in terms of shot making, in terms of like being able to see and make passes and all that, like it's unparalleled. We've never had anything like that with someone who moves like that. I saw last night, the Nuggets-Lakers game, Michael Porter Jr. hit a three-pointer in the corner where Austin Reeves like had perfect technique on the closeout and a hand in the face, not figuratively, literally.
Literally hand in
the face. Yep. But Michael Porter Jr. just went, like directionally upwards. And it's like, yeah, I'm 6'10", and you're 6'6". At some point, it doesn't matter what
science,
you do.
Science
kicked in. Yep. Science kicked in. Now, add 5 inches?
Yeah.
To that?
Five to six.
That's like an insane amount of things. Now, what are the concerns? Number one, his body.
Health, yep.
What's the history of people 7'2 plus in this league? They all get hurt. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. All of them, right? Ilgauskas, Yao Ming, George Mirazan, Manute Bol, Sean Bradley. Like, what's my man Dan? Boban might be the only one, and he doesn't play.
Boban is low management.
Right, like
throughout his career.
Natural
load management.
So,
but talent sake.
And by the way, all those guys played a very, by comparison, sedentary, meaning like they jog down the court, they go to the block, they're in the paint, and then they come down here and then the paint.
Yep.
You're not asking them to cut, move laterally, cross people over.
Step back, tray.
Yeah, like
follow.
Dude, that's all sorts of pressures on the ligaments and the tendons and stuff like that. Again, I'm not predicting. I'm just saying, like, we have a case history.
So you don't feel great about him. If the bar is he's going to be the greatest ever, you don't feel great about making that declaration right now.
About making that declaration, no. About taking number one, I feel very confident.
Obviously, like, yes. Taking number one. Wembanyama goes to the Spurs. A lot of French Spurs fans because of Tony Parker.
Yep.
LeBron James goes to the Cavs, born and raised in Akron, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Lin in free agency goes to the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Rockets fans in China.
Yep.
Conspiracy theorists out there. I've seen pictures of Wembanyama in a Spurs jersey when he's a kid.
Yep.
He said his family was hoping for that. The people of France were hoping for that. You're an NBA guy, man. Are they going to cut our mics because we're talking about this? Is this what's happening?
I'm not just an NBA guy. I am the host of Basketball
Illuminati.
You are
the host of a Basketball Illuminati. What does the Basketball Illuminati say?
So all I'm going to say is, you know what team he played for in France, right?
Uh-oh. What is
it? Club that he played for. not this last season, but the season before.
Who was it?
Well, let's just say the owner was this guy named Tony Parker.
Mm-hmm. That's where we drop the conspiracy music.
Da-da-da-da.
That's it for Journeyman this week. Shout out to Meadowlark Media. Shout out to Amin El Hassan and Sydney Colson for joining us today. Make sure you journey back same time next week. Superman.